SBSRadio.com.
Good evening, and welcome to Talk Truth Radio with your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. Dr. Rain Morgan is Mother Earth, and you can look forward to the next 3 hours of enlightening talk. What are the issues? More importantly, what are the solutions? We hold the torch. Together we stand. Now join Dr. Rain and this evening's guest. Open your mind and have a good time.
Hey, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us at Talk Truth Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Rain Morgan. And your other host is Dr. Sandra Rose Michael from Energy Enhancement Systems. Dr. Sandra Rose, good evening.
Hey, aloha from Hawaii. I'm glad to be back here. And we're going to have a great show tonight.
We are going to have a great show tonight. And, you know, Dr. Sandra, we really endeavor every Wednesday night at 7:30 on the BBSRadio.com to bring you the highest caliber of guests and to bring you cutting-edge information, solution information that will give you what you need to heal what ails you. Or if you don't want to use the word heal, how about balance and move through?
How about we can never be too healthy or too happy.
We can never be too, and
there's
what
else always room for more energy. We could always have more energy, be healthier, be happier, be more beautiful. There's always room to be better, better and better all the time.
Can we ever be too thin?
Well, there are.
Can we ever be too rich? So thanks all of you very much for joining us this evening. Now, Dr. Sandra, or Dr. Rose, I really like Dr. Rose, we have a very interesting guest this evening. Now, I have not had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Johnny America, but you have. So why don't you tell our listening audience a little bit about Mr. Johnny America. I know he is quite a gregarious person, and I'm really looking forward to this interview this evening.
We are going to have a fantastic show because Johnny is truly a celebrity talk show host here, and one of the most
brilliant people. And he does radio, too, doesn't he?
Yes, he does radio, and his new satellite show, I believe, is going to be coming soon. It's going to be Go to the Top, and so we'll get a little preview of what that's about, too. But the reason I love talking to him and having him on is because he really does live and know the cutting-edge health principles and really can share a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, and we can have a great time talking and sharing and introducing the listeners to some changes that they can make easily in their lives that will make profound changes in their health.
Yeah. And,
so,
you know,
Johnny,
Dr. Rose, you and I have talked many times about the kind of radio that we do. We could talk about government cover-ups and the problems that are happening. We could talk about the war, and sometimes we do touch on those things. We could spend hours talking about what is wrong, but this show spends hours talking about what's right and the solutions. So let's get to Johnny America. Johnny, are you there?
I certainly am, girls. How are you tonight?
I am well. I'm so very pleased to meet you.
Well, I'm very pleased, too. I was going to say we're because I do so many voices for so many people, but I have to just use one now. But I included all the people I usually do on my shows.
Well, now I know that Dr. Rose knows you, and I am not familiar with your work at all, so perhaps you could talk to me and give me kind of a rundown on what you've been doing your whole life and about your radio shows and what's going on with you.
Sure. Well, my latest endeavor, if we were to start at the present and then work back, is that I'm assembling a new major radio broadcasting network at this time. And this will be a show that will be readily available throughout North America. And then, of course, by the Internet, it will be worldwide as well. But we also will probably employ a satellite system for Europe, but I'd like to wait 6 months after I do the American debut of it, and then we would incorporate it live on the air for stations there for whoever wanted to run it at that time. So,
and I
the
know
show,
you want to have us on your show.
Oh, definitely. In fact, you're the first people that are going to be on. And it's a great show.
The very first ones, Dr. Rose. Did you hear that? I'm
yes.
all excited now.
We get to go to the top.
You
we
do.
We get to go to the top. So, Sandra, you know, I'm kind of going to turn this over to you because I know Johnny, and I know there are so many different things that he can talk about. Scalar energy, our technology, your technology, and I do consider it mine, too, since I talk to so many people about it, and all of the other wonderful things that he's about.
Yes. Okay. So, well, Johnny, I guess the show is ours.
All right, Dr. Sandra, where would you like to start?
Well, geez, that's a good question. Where do we want to go from here?
I'd like to hear about the new radio show that he's got going, if I could just step in here for a minute.
Okay, you're
sure.
Still here. We'll tell you about that. You know, it'd be okay. Good to get an overview or focus of what that's going to, where you really want to go with that.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. This program was originally designed for television, but we found out from the people that were interested in being a part of it, in their own words, they thought it was so good that we should put it on radio instead. Now, that's a joke, girls.
And is it going to be, it is on Internet radio?
It will be, yes. But when it starts, at the first phase of it, it probably will just be like satellite distributed to AM, FM, and shortwave.
And isn't this with ABC?
Yes, it will be distributed through ABC's services, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. And how long a show, or it's going to be a whole network, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Technically, it is a 24-hour-a-day network. And I'm not certain exactly how many hours we'll start with because that depends on how many people we land for particular positions within the network and how much of a talent pool I can assemble and that I'm really happy with and that I can say, all right, you take it away and I know you can do it. And part of the problem today is finding people who can speak effectively without fumbling for words. So often when you listen to somebody speak, you'll notice that they're almost constantly saying, what would like to do, that type of thing. And what we're looking for is an extemporaneous person who can sit down because they love people and they want to interact and they have something good to contribute, and therefore they can speak readily. So from that standpoint, we're really primarily running an entertainment radio network that deals with subjects such as you girls frequently cover, the medical front, because how many people have something that they'd like to have fine-tuned, some little malady or something that's not quite right? And when they find the solution, boy, life's worth living again. And they're all aglow, and they go about their daily business with a different perspective, a greater happiness, as you were saying at the beginning. Wouldn't you agree to that?
I would. And, Johnny, would you say that most of the topics that you will be covering on this network are going to be about healing and ascension and moving forward in your life?
Yes, because if you don't do those things, then you're either stagnant or regressive. And when that happens, it's sort of like an implosion. And you not only don't go anywhere, but you don't have anything more to contribute even for your own self-worth or your own being, whereby if you're just having that standard routine and it's working correctly, and then you can add to it. The trick is to add to it, and that's what we're advocating with this type of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you can't ever have too exciting a life or too wonderful a life, you know.
No.
You know, this is more about what do we want, what do we want to create? You know, we're the writers of our own scripts here.
That's right.
I'm really pleased to hear you say that because, you know, let's bring up something that just happened, and we all know Mercury is retrograde. I believe we're in this storm. I think that it comes, and listen to me,
that's all right.
Well, I'm trying to work in astrology here, Johnny, and, you know, it's my weakest link. Sandra Rose is really an expert in astrology, but I'm not the one. So I'm fumbling for words here, but I think the 15th, Mercury goes retrograde. And, you know, everything is happening. Like this evening, the show wouldn't get up and get moving the way it should. Last week, when Sandra and I were on, I spilled some liquid across my computer, and it fried
in the middle of the show.
In the middle of the show, people. Sandra Rose and I were sitting in here in my office, and I turned around in my big leather desk chair to say something to her, and the back of my chair hit the glass, knocked it across my computer all over the floor. Sandra and I were still talking on the radio, and we were mopping up wine when, who cares? The real problem was that my computer left us. It left the earth last Wednesday night. Well, to bring me back to case in point, I was in shock. Sandra, do you remember that? I was in shock. I didn't know what to do. I was kind of fumbling around. I thought, oh my God, my computer is fried. And Sandra said to me after the show, we were talking about this, and she said, Rain, what do you want? And it snapped me out of that place where I was sinking into what the problem was. And I think this is one of the most important things that we talk about. What do we want? What do we want to create in our life? Do you agree, the both of you, the two of you?
Yeah, and out of that, so what do you really want? Now you have a brand new computer that's really the ideal one that you would have loved to have had.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And as I reminded you, you know, everything was retrievable anyway.
Well, and listen, my hardware person, the person who took my Sony apart last week and said, oh, honey, gee, I don't want you to panic yet, but I think the computer's toast. Well, we lost the Outlook Express because I didn't save it, you know, and at 57 years old, I didn't grow up with computers, you know? And so it's kind of a struggle, and I have to learn by really studying hard about the computer. So backing stuff up, well, you know, I saved it. So the Outlook Express was toast. That's my entire email address, and probably as all of you, both of you know, and anybody listening, that's your job, that's your bread and butter, your email address, your address book. Well, here's what Spirit said. It said, okay, you're really screwed over here, Rain, but I'm going to fix it. I sent out probably 75% of my entire address book I sent out last week in an email blast. One address, now this just trips me out. One address in the entire book was no longer in existence. Do you know that the mail administrator sent me an email back saying, here's your whole mail list that you sent this out to, and this one address isn't any good.
Oh, wow.
So I got the whole thing, and, you know, here was the truth. If the name wasn't on that blast, I probably didn't care about it, was going to delete it off of my address book anyway.
Yeah, but see, it's like when you trust, it's like it all comes back multiplied anyway. So, you know, and that's back to that question. So you focus on what you want.
What do you really want versus
focusing on what you don't, because you'll get more of whatever you focus on. So anyway, but a good example.
Even when there's a problem, correct? Even when there's a problem, it works out in the end for the highest good.
Always. And we don't ever lose something without something better coming, like you now have the Apple MacBook.
I got a MacBook, boys and girls. Now, I have to tell you that when I was on with Cox at 5 o'clock this morning, they said very rude things to me like, well, why did you buy a Mac? We don't know how to work a Mac. You need to take that back and get a PC.
You know what happened? He probably thought it was a truck.
And it was going to back over him. All right. Well, you know, as I said earlier, I'm going to, I kind of want to turn this show over to Sandra because she does know you and what you're about. So I just would really like to have you tell everybody out there, you know, what you do and a website and, you know, give us the download on you, on Johnny America. Why do they call you Johnny America?
They call me that because when I'm asked what is my primary occupation and what is my forte, they sit down and they look at me, and this is really comical, and I start laughing because they say, well, what don't you do? And I can't contribute to that either because I guess I do just about everything that there is. So
whatever
I got the
it takes.
Name. Yeah, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
And for years, I've just been involved with solving problems that seemingly were not solvable, and also with coming up with a solution that not only was practical and that got results, but that was obtainable. If you couldn't obtain it because you couldn't afford it, then it didn't work for you. So we had to look at all the different rubrical problems and find out how are you going to solve it on every level. And thinking about this, it's the end result that matters. And isn't that true for our lives? Where are you going to spend eternity? That's what matters. So in other words, if you're an honest person, you say to yourself, well, hey, I want to go up there where the angels are. What do you think? Because if you're a dishonest person and you're devious, you don't really care about your fellow person. You have another agenda. It might be yourself, or it could be some project, or it could be an organization or group. But if you really, really care about each individual, then that question, when it comes to mind, where are you going to spend your eternity? You find out that you've really leveled the playing field, and now honesty reigns supreme. And now you can solve problems because you're not conceited, or you're not interested in the money angle of it, or you're not interested in anything that obstructs your view to get to a successful conclusion.
Well, that's certainly where we want to go tonight.
Yeah, that was really good stuff. And, you know, Johnny, I'm very sure that you will agree with me that we can't talk enough about this kind of stuff. It's kind of strange to me. I experienced this in my own life in the earliest parts of my evolution, my spiritual evolution. We hear these things, but the world is going on around us, and we're sitting right in the middle of it, and we have our issues and our things that are going on, and we wonder, how are we going to deal with this? We have long, long lost touch with sitting in the solution, not the problem, not what's going on.
Right.
And there's
I totally agree.
There's that old law, ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. And trusting that process, because that is really a promise and a law.
That's right. It is.
So you
and
focus on what you want and ask for it.
And now, Sandra, Dr. Rose, you know that I'm a psychic healer. This is what I do for a living. And I see someplace between 6 to 13 people a day. Do you know how many people sit down across from me, and I say to them, what do you want? They cannot tell me. So I would say to all of you within hearing, listening, voice, what is it that you want? Think about that. Figure it out. And sometimes that can take a great deal of energy because oftentimes, I hit that place where I don't know what I want.
Yeah, people get bogged down in their problems and kind of in that muck and the mire of it and then can't see their way out of the problems because the more you focus on the problems or the more that, you focus on that stuff, the more of that you get until you get over it and instead start focusing on what would be wonderful, and wouldn't it be wonderful when you made your, when you were on the other side of that, so what would that look like? What would that be like? What would it feel like?
I tell people, have a fantasy. There's not one human being out there breathing in and out that does not know how to have a fantasy. Have a fantasy.
Yeah. And beyond a fantasy, create a life worth living. Make it a movie worth watching. Go for the ratings is one of the things I tell people. It's like,
go for the ratings.
Go for the ratings. Create a life worth watching.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, so let's talk with Johnny. What's on the agenda for the biggest thing that you've ever done?
For myself?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go back just a peek into what you girls were discussing, because there's quite a bit of merit there. If we were to analyze what happens to people when you would ask them, what is it that you want, and they are unable to supply a sufficient answer, we would have to say to ourselves in a question form, what is that and why does that happen? Why couldn't they just immediately state, I want blah, blah, blah? Well, here's why. If we looked at this country, and indeed much of the rest of the world, we would find that if the food you're eating isn't really made of the components that you're made of, then the food can't supply the nutrition you needed to have your brain work really efficiently, even in a simple manner, to be able to have supplied you with that answer. So how does that happen? Well, it happens from depleted soils that no longer contain the mineral loads necessary for neurotransmitters and other bodily functions with electrical impulses from the brain to the nerves and to other things within the body, such as receptors and so on. They don't work right anymore because slowly, over a period of time, that person is void or shortened on the amount of minerals that they needed to do the job right in the first place. And then after that, we would have to say, how did you grow the food? Did you use chemicals or did it happen naturally? With the elements, the way it's intended to be by God. It's as simple as that. And then from there, we would say, once you got the food, what did you do to it before you ate it? And analyzing all of these stages, we would find, wouldn't we, that things get adulterated. They no longer are the way they should be. Instead, they're the way they are for the simplicity of putting it on a store shelf and having it be able to stay there.
Right.
But as you know, when you eat it, if it has been sullied or tainted by chemicals that our body cannot break down, in other words, we're not a chemical processing plant in the sense of synthetic chemicals, but only in the sense of natural ones. So if we deviate from what's natural, now we have a price somewhere along the line we have to pay. And that is why people cannot make always quick statements or judgments. And it's also why sometimes people don't think things out, even in an elementary manner, in the way that they should or in the way that they could. So when we restore what was missing from them, either nutritively or with Dr. Sandra's wonderful scalar wave energy enhancement machine, we see a big change in that person. And we say now that that person can cope where before they couldn't. And this is what happiness really is, because now the family unit, and even if a person lives by themselves, you're still a family unit. You are able now to really perform at the level you're comfortable with, that you expected of yourself, that you believed you could do in the first place. And now you're marching forward instead of just sitting there. And marching forward doesn't mean you have to do these great, great things all the time. It just means whatever you'd like to do, what you set out to do, you can sit back at the end of that day and say, you know, I feel pretty good about this because I succeeded with my friends today, and I succeeded in the discussion I had with my employer or whoever it might be. And that's the key to success.
Yeah. You know, there's a really good point in that, too, that when the body's not getting what it requires to be happy, it's a little harder to be able to create happiness in your life because, again, the body's kind of stuck in a place of lack. So how do you create true abundance from that place? So first thing is, you know, it's like, you know, you don't expect your car to run on, you know, improper fuel. Why expect the body to? You're not going to get very far that way or have the energy to do everything you really want to do or to even have the thoughts that really create your highest ideals and your highest potentials, because the body is not able to function at highest potential. How are you going to have that in your life, really?
That's right. If you do not have the ingredients necessary to make the product, then the product is shortchanged, and even though it's not immediately recognized by most people, still, systematically, you're being shortchanged. So the end result of the shortchange is that you don't have the whole product.
Yeah, and I had this discussion about the other day about our leaders even. You know, this is something that plays out, and it's a basic principle how, you know, if people are not healthy, how are they going to make healthy decisions? And,
yes.
You know, so, and that's a very simple thing. And somebody that's poisoning themselves and poisoning their bodies are going to create more poisonous relationships one way or another. And some of them have been very good at doing that.
Yeah, I quite agree. Because if you looked at the sodium-potassium pump in the cell, and if you do something to change the function of that, you now have changed the electrical grid, not only within the cell itself, but all the compatibility factors within all the cells. And then, how could we expect the brain to function and to do the things it needs to do to regulate the body when it, too, has been altered? So therefore, when we come back to that word happiness, you're not happy. And when you're not happy, what are you? Well, you might be a little depressed, or you might be disgruntled, or you might be angry. There's other factors that can come in here, so that instead of doing the nice little job you wanted to do that day, you're sidetracked. And it wasn't something of your doing, but like Dr. Sandra just said, if the car doesn't have what it needs, if it doesn't have the right fuel, then it can't perform right. So you can't expect it to come to the right conclusion. It can't win the race. It can't even go on the trip successfully, can it?
Yeah, and that's what we want to have, is a really good trip here.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's an interesting piece of this. When we counsel people to get off of meat, get off of coffee, stop eating bread, invariably, 7 out of 10 of them will come back and say, oh, I couldn't take it. I got so tired. I was so run down. I felt so bad. And then a friend of mine said, oh, have a piece of chicken. That's why you need protein. We need to talk about why we feel bad before, or worse, if you will, when we stop, when we try to get our diets back on track. Why we feel worse before we feel better.
Dr. Sandra, you want to take that first, and then I'll come right in? Or do you want me
okay.
to go first?
Well, we'll talk first a little bit, because more is when you start start making those changes, the body is going to have to readjust. And the first thing it's going to want to do, and we say this, when people go into the energy enhancement system too, when you're putting in more energy or more aliveness, when the cells have more energy, the first thing they want to do is clean house.
Yeah.
They want to clean house. And so they're going to be trying to push those toxins, that have accumulated, and we're going to be talking about weight loss later when we're on with Michael Brown, but the toxins have accumulated in the fat tissue primarily, and that's why a lot of people, the body will hold on to the fat to protect you from the toxins that have been stored there. And so there's a lot of things that go on, but the body has to go through what's also been called the Herzheimer reaction.
Or the law of cure.
Where you re-experience what the diseases have been as they're being released out of the body. So there's a retracing or a retracking that goes on when you clean up the diet. And yes, if you eat whatever it was that was suppressing those symptoms before or causing those symptoms to back up, it'll stop that process. And, it's like going back to an old comfort zone, but it'll stop that process.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I don't know how many people I have helped do this, and they never experienced the Herxheimer effect. And I told them from the beginning that with whatever I'm going to do for you to get you better, I have never yet had one single person have to go through it. Because if you do it correctly, that's right. If you do this correctly, the only thing
you
notice
it right,
is
it's easy.
Yeah, it's a benefit. You notice benefits. You don't notice detractions because you made a change for the better. See, now whatever that change is. Now, example, I am not a vegetarian, and I respect those people who choose to do that. But what I'm saying is this: that whatever path you're on, and whatever road you want to take to health, if you do this systematically and correctly, you will not go back at all, not even a partial step. And it's the same thing even with parasites. I've gotten rid of so many of those for so many people, and in so doing, they never really had a negative journey. They noticed that it was all positive because you can do it in such a way that you eliminate the discomfort, you eliminate the pain, you eliminate any type of a problem as one would perceive it had it not been done that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And a lot of that's a matter of supporting the body with ease, really supporting the body with the choices of, and supporting the detox.
Right.
What we have people do is drink a lot of water, for example, and do the salt bath. The salt bath, how easy is that? Send yourself to bath heaven.
You just said a wonderful thing, but I didn't want to interrupt you, but remind me to mention about the salt. And go ahead.
Oh, talking about the salt?
Yeah, I didn't want to interrupt.
Salt's a very good topic in its own. Salt's very, very important. And you mentioned a little bit about the sodium-potassium pump, and there's a lot of misinformation about salt and how salt is bad for you, and certain types of salt are absolutely detrimental to the body, and that would be your processed salt, like the Morton's, et cetera, the commercial salt, where it's only sodium left versus the body requires good salt.
That's right.
And the other thing with that potassium, sodium, like I said, I like things to be easy. How do you do easy, effortless, elegant detox? And that's with 2 cups of salt, whether it's kosher salt, sea salt, salt in the bathtub. And again, it works with that potassium sodium pump as well, but it also works with the electrical charge and matrix because the body's like a battery, And
exactly.
So it's like
that's what I was
going
to get
into. Ionic solution. And it'll toxins. It'll pull the toxins. The skin's the largest organ. It's the third kidneys. And you can pull so much with that salt. It's the old purifier. And it'll pull things out through the skin.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's what I was going to get into. In other words, if you have a battery and you do not have the sulfuric acid level correct in the battery, then the battery neither holds a charge correctly nor can be charged correctly. if the level is just too high or too low, what I just said takes place. But if the level is correct for the acid and the water, then the charges are correct. And that's exactly what salt will do in the body. It facilitates a perfect electrical charge to be able to be achieved.
And that's, of course, so much what our technology works with, is that perfect electrical charge. Because when you have the perfect charge, the bloodstream just oxygenates and it all flows clean. You know, it's an amazing thing, just having that perfect charge for the body. And, you know, the body requires that, you know, I mean, our technology balances that out so quickly and effectively, and that's why we see a lot of the results that we see. It's exactly that reason. But then when people do the salt bath afterwards, that's like, you know, the perfect way to ground that energy. And people anywhere and everywhere can be doing that right now. It's very inexpensive. They don't have to buy the $20 a pound salts even, you know?
That's right. Yeah, it all makes so much sense. This is all a logical approach which can be proven with heavy and deep science, some of which we have touched upon. And to bring some of these points a little more into focus, we would be able to say to ourselves that if a person were living on a plot of ground, i.e. a farm, and they were eating the produce, the vegetables, and the products that the farm is producing, they would go back to the soil and determine that there was something wonderful about this location because it was supplying everything you needed to have to be in what we'd call a perfect picture of health. So what Dr. Saunders' machine does is it can bistep so many of those routes that a person today is unable to take on their own because they just can't facilitate all the things that the body needs readily. And they would have to spend a little bit of time to get the right foods, the right nutrients, and so on. But her machine is truly miraculous because what it can do is rectify and change the molecular substance through the scalar waves, which is beyond synthesizing an element or a product or anything. And it's not ever going to be fully understood 100% by science. But what it does is it does the impossible, and it rectifies blood and other things which heretofore were not correct because it can do electronically what nothing else I have ever seen can do.
Yeah, well, that's putting it very, very well, and that's true. It's like the ideal, optimal environment. It's like you've been living in it, and it's created that perfection, recreated that perfection at the cellular and molecular level.
Right, exactly right. Yeah, and, you know, if you think about it, when you're at that level, here's what most scientists don't know, that the world of the atom and the many parts contained within, not just the weak force and the strong force and the bosons, but there's between 28 and 32 parts at least to every atom. But within each of those parts is a world of such mystery, only God himself knows what's going on. We don't. It's too complex.
You know, I have a quote from a physicist, and this is a government physicist that's been a consultant to DOD, Pentagon, NASA, and Fandom and Skunk Works too. But so he's a top government super scientist, okay? But he said to me, he's actually on our website, John Orr of, you know, with an oscilloscope measuring the field and going, oh my gosh, you know, this is a miracle what our technology is doing. It's magic. But what he said to me, he said, I want you to remember that we physicists admit currently right now that we only understand less than 3% of the energies of how they work.
Yes.
And that leaves 97% that we do not understand as physicists.
That's totally correct. Yep. And to bring a point out on that, I was once talking to an astrophysicist at Yale, and I was discussing with him Hyakutake, the comet, and Hale-Bopp. And I asked him a question, not to try to trip him up, but just sincerely from a scientific standpoint. And I said to him, what do you believe the actual composition of a comet is? And he replied, well, I believe it's a dirty snowball, and so on and so forth. How about you? What do you think? And I said, no, I don't think in the nature of what that statement says that it is. In other words, it's not a dirty snowball. And he said, well, why not? And I said, well, think about it. When it's orbiting the sun, it would melt if it was only a mile in diameter, if it's simply a ball of dust and ice. There's no hope of it staying together in its composition. But instead, you're dealing with an electrical phenomena, but it's partially electricity that you have no knowledge of. Because it's the way that electrons not only orbit, but it's the way that they spin when they orbit. And it's the same thing with other parts within the atom. So that unless you can really look in and see all of this, you cannot say what type of exact electricity you're dealing with. And because of that, this is why you cannot fully explain a scalar wave 100%.
Yeah, and people ask me to, you know, explain to me exactly how this is working.
And
it is not possible, really.
No.
You know,
no, it's
how,
not possible.
And how do we know exactly how all the billions of cells of our body are working?
Right.
I had somebody ask me that question today about scalar wave, and I said, you know, I would just not be the person to ask how something like this works. I said, but here's what I have a concept of. It's how the body communicates with itself, and it's about six times the speed of light.
Yeah, and why not turn the lights on? We all turn the lights on without figuring out exactly how that electricity is working.
Exactly.
Let's just turn the lights on.
Yeah, I don't have to know how electricity is really generated, but I know if I stick my finger in the socket, it's going to shock me, and I know that when I flip the switch, the light comes on or something works. I don't have to know how.
That's
right. And what I'd like to say about the technology, it's literally like plugging back into that cosmic light socket and turning everything back on. And it's literally turning the lights on at a cellular level. It's an amazing thing. So let's just turn the lights on. Heck with trying to figure out exactly how that electricity works. Nobody even knows exactly how electricity works.
That's right. Nobody does. That's absolutely true. And you know another great thing about what you're saying? If you took a child and you tell the child, we're going to have a birthday party for you, the child doesn't stop and try to say, well, where will they get the money to buy the cake and the candles and the ice cream or whatever you're going to bring? The child believes what you're telling them.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do here with these basic things that we're discussing, or to put it on a layman's level, instead of trying to understand all of the deep science behind it, just try to understand the general basic concept of the deep science, and then see to it in your heart that you can say, you know what, this does make sense to me, though, because like they said earlier in this conversation, meaning all of us, your body is not a chemical processing plant for synthetic chemicals, but it is for natural ones. And it's the same thing with electricity. You're never going to understand how it's doing its job. All you know is, like you said, if you stick your finger in the socket, watch out.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is you're not going to get more energy or more aliveness by putting in more dead stuff or more toxic stuff. I mean, you're not going to get more aliveness unless you quit poisoning yourself. And so, you know, some of this is fairly basic that way. And, you know, that's very, very important for people to remember. If you love yourself, you're not going to poison yourself. And then by the fruit, you know. I just love miracles, and that's why we do what we do, and that's why we've been teaching holistic health for over 35 years with people. We have a passion for helping people experience miracles. I think there's room for great big ones on this planet, lots of them.
Yeah, that's a great statement. I totally agree with you. And, you know, a person could say this too. If you take something in excess, then you have to realize there's a point where you have to stop, whether you want to or not. So if we looked at sugars and sweeteners, and if we went into the world of, again, chemicals like aspartame, we would find that the body is simply assaulted by the properties contained within this structure called aspartame, and that it can't handle this. But if we looked at natural sugar that occurs in a peach or a plum or an apple, we would find that the body uses this correctly with the pancreas, and if need be, with a balancing of adrenal activities. And you can regulate your body now to perfection, and you didn't even know you were doing it. So,
yeah, and
once again,
the closer you eat, the closer to how God created things, the closer to that, the better off that we are. And fruit's like the highest frequency or vibration of energetic food on this planet. It's the most light energy. So, you know, and that's a wonderful, wonderful piece, and that's where we need to go. It's like that's what recharges us.
And
we did do a show about aspartame, where we talked quite a bit about that too.
And let's throw in a little information here too. I was sitting with someone this afternoon that said, "Oh no, I don't use aspartame, but I really like Splenda." And I said, "Ooh, aspartame, Splenda equal what's the little pink one? I can't remember the name of that." But you know, Dr. Rose and Johnny, we might let people know about things like Xylosweet.
Yeah,
Xylitol.
And again, let's give the healthy varieties. But what we found with aspartame, talking about energetics and how the body is like a battery, it literally short circuits that system. I mean, you know, aspartame and NutraSweet and also that new one, sucralose.
Yeah.
Oh, that one, I mean, just, again, the list goes on and on of the side effects of these things. And so we brought some of that research out. But the solutions are, you know, there are healthy sweeteners. Xylitol is one of them, yes, and stevia, agave nectar. And these are all ones that do not have the glycemic response. And although you can have some of the sweeteners that are healthier than white sugar, and those might be maple syrup and honey, for example, and also one I like is sucanat, which is raw cane juice, because, you know, the raw cane juice has all the natural minerals and things, so that's a healthier sweetener. But those all do have a glycemic response. So do you want to talk more about that, Johnny?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I was thinking as I listened to you? Pardon me. I was thinking about a number of people, and one family in particular in which there were two girls, obviously they're sisters, and they started to go downhill health-wise, and it was a slow and subtle process. And I was asked by a friend of theirs if I would help them because this had gotten so bad for these girls that one of them lost her job, and she lost her ability to be able to interact with people just in a regular way, and she became withdrawn, and she had all types of health problems. She was pre-lupus, pre-cancerous. She had female problems. She developed acne and so on. So when I took this case on, I did so knowing I would have to use kid gloves because by this time, this girl had been enrolled in a mental institution, and her parents were told that she will never again be able to work, and she'll never be able to function like you knew her back there a couple years ago. So I was asked if I understood this, and I looked at them in the room, and I said, "I understand what you said, but I don't believe a word of it because I'm going to take this girl, and I'm going to totally naturally reprogram her genetic code, her RNA and DNA code, and her whole balance as a functioning person. And I'm going to get her job back for her, and she's going to become a member of society and be happy like she was." Now, they looked at me like I was a nut. But guess what?
Uh-huh.
6 months later, this girl was in very serious condition. 6 months later, that girl went back to work, happy as a lark. She didn't have any more acne. She wasn't at all precancerous. and she didn't have any problems in the world of health whatsoever. And she looked like $1 million on 2 feet, maybe even a billion. So
what
we
did
would,
you do?
What I did
what
was...
What did you do with her?
What I did was I told her that without even asking you, I know that your personal body acid level, your pH level, is wrong. You're too
sure.
acidic. The next thing is
sure.
that I would be willing to bet everything I own that you have a yeast problem.
And
after that,
common.
I said, yeah. And the next thing that's wrong is that you are on a roller coaster with your blood sugar and that your adrenals are all tapped out, your pancreas isn't working right, nothing's working right in your body because you don't eat correctly. And as a result, even your carbohydrate intake is wrong. Even if you were to eat sourdough rye bread without yeast, you can't eat that right now until I fix this problem with your carbs and your yeast. Once we cleanse you of these things and get these toxins out of you, these funguses, these molds, and make your blood correct again and make your organs healthy again, then we can start looking at the real you we used to know. And so what I did was I corrected everything she ate. And here's part of the problem. When somebody knows you after a while, you're not the person that they're going to believe in necessarily because it seems as though you're fallible. You might be making a mistake. So I sent her to a friend of mine who is an absolute master nutritionist. And when she went there, she went on the protocol that was given to her. But she called me up secretly at the end of 2 weeks and she said, I felt so great at the beginning, but now I don't. What's wrong with me? And I said to her, I want you to tell me every single thing you eat. I don't care if it's paprika, a garnish of this, pepper, salt, whatever. Tell me everything. So she went through a litany of what she ate each day. And, of course, a lot of it was good, natural, organic oatmeal, this, that, and the other thing. But then she said, and I have quite a bit of olive oil each day. And I said, you do? And she said, yes. And I said, stop right there. And she said, why? I love olive oil, and I was told I have to do this to cleanse. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. You know the person I sent you to, and I know the person I sent you to. And she's very, very good at what she does, but there's one little error here, and we all can make them. But that's why two heads are better than one. And I said, you come off the olive oil, even though it's extra virgin, first cold pressed, and it's very good for you. You come off that and you'll see that you're going to feel better, because she described how she felt. And it was a little sick to her stomach, a little nauseous, and just not her good old self. So she said, I beg to differ with you, Johnny. You're going to be wrong. And I said, well, I might be, but I don't think so. You have to try this. You have to give me that benefit of the doubt. So she reluctantly agreed to do it. And I told her that at the end of 24 to 36 hours, you'll feel a little better. But at the end of 48 hours, meaning the second day, you're going to noticeably feel a lot better. And by 3 days, you're going to be fit as a fiddle, because everything else she did was perfect. But that's the one error she made. So she went and did this again reluctantly. And she called me up about 36 hours into this, you know, not taking any of this olive oil. And she said, I can't believe this. Why in the world would that happen to me when it's a good food product? And I explained to her, because your blood sugar is of such an intricate nature that you're turning some of this into a starch in a very small way. But it's enough to make you ill, and you can't have the starch right now until you rectify your blood. Now, this is before I knew Dr. Sandra, and we had this wonderful machine that now will do it. But as a consequence, they all learn something, and it's just something I happen to know from before, and I learn things from people, too. I don't know it all. None of us do. But it was an amazing thing for them, because she never would have figured that out, but that's what was making her ill.
So what I heard you say was extra virgin olive oil can be turned to a starch?
In a very, very small way. Whatever you take into your body, It has to be utilized by the body and turned into an end result product. And oil, just like it is in a furnace to heat your house, in the furnace of your body, oils can make you feel much warmer. Example, if a person ever was addicted to potato chips and they had nothing to eat for a number of hours, but they went and took a bag of potato chips, they would notice after about 20 minutes of eating them that they feel quite a bit warmer. But if you were to go and eat regular potatoes in any capacity, you wouldn't notice a discharge of heat. The reason why is that the potato chip was cooked with oils, and it was heated up. And the property of the oil changes so that the body doesn't utilize the oil exactly the same way that it does extra cold-pressed or first cold-pressed extra virgin olive oil. But there becomes a state within both of these properties where they're getting closer to each other and closer, and finally you pass the fine line where, whoops, it was very minor, but just for a second there, we were identical. And that's what happens.
Okay, what about grapeseed oil? Now, I think everybody, or not everybody, but most of us know that raising the temperature of olive oil alters it. What about grapeseed oil? Would it have that same effect on your body?
It does, but it's a different property of oil. So
right.
That a person would have to say to themselves that the viscosity ratio, meaning the thickness of the oils, are very different. And it's viscosity ratios that go back to molecular structures. And in so much as we want an answer, we have to first stop and say, wait a minute, how could we figure this out? Let's take a plot of ground, and we're on that farm again, and the ground is identical, but we notice here there's poison ivy growing. But we notice right over here there's an asparagus patch. And over here we notice an apple tree, and then there's a pear tree, and what have you. And the question arises, how could this plot of ground grow all of these different things? They all look so healthy. It's incredible. And we're assuming at this point that we did not use any types of organic fertilizers, and certainly not any of the other type, which we wouldn't want to have at all. But the question arises, it's the nutritive or mineral load in the soil that enables the genetics of the seed to propagate into the final fruit. And what we do with oils is that we have to take them from a fruit, and we have to make them now become a derivative product of the original product. But they're no longer in the same environment. We have squeezed them out of those cells, be they olives or whatever, and now the oil stands by itself. And within a period of just a few minutes, there is the most subtle change the world has ever known that occurs within any product when you remove it from its original source. Enzymes within that product alter it in a very, very, very minor way, so that now you have a slightly different composition from, say, the wall of the olive itself, in the same way that poison ivy has such an incredibly thin viscosity, meaning the thickness of the oil, that burns your skin. But at the same time, the apple has something in it which now helps you. So these are some of the questions that come up, and that's how you start before you go into a laboratory with an electron microscope. That's how you start to ponder and find out what's what.
That was interesting. Whoa.
Yeah.
This is why I love talking to him, because every time we learn more, and we're always learning more, and that's what keeps us young and excited about things.
Yeah, that was great stuff.
Okay, so
here's something.
I want to go back to the lady you were helping. You had her which the olive oil, and what else did you do with her?
Well, see, when you have a person who's ill like this, the girl was so sick that she told me just everything. You know, she was a wonderful person to begin with, but she became at the instant, at the beginning of this, an open book, because she was so desperate to get better. And she would break down on the phone with me, and she would cry, and she would say, I can't understand why so many things are wrong with me, and I don't understand how this came about. So I would say to her, well, you know what? And this is the truthful side of psychology. This is not the hidden side that might be employed by some within the profession, but it's the side where to convince the person you want to help that you actually love them, that you really, really care, that for a moment you have actually put yourself in their shoes. And, you know, they sense and realize that keenly, even though they're ill. And she would say to me, thank you for spending all this time with me. Did you have this time? And I told a tiny fib, I didn't. But I didn't ever want to diminish her confidence in me. So I said to her, I have the time, don't worry. And actually that was truthful, because I wanted to help her more than anything in the world. And what she didn't know was I'd be up the rest of the whole night going into the next day without any sleep. But it didn't matter, because if we put ourselves in their shoes, she's at wit's end. She's really in bad shape. So I then proceeded to tell her, we're going to fix you, and we're going to do 5 or 6 steps at a time, because we need to take several hundred steps to do this job. But don't worry about that number. Just think about this. Imagine for a moment that you're having a tug of war. You can't see your opponent because the rope is so long. But you know the opponent is there because they're pulling on it. But you're tired. But you notice, sticking out of the ground, a strong young tree. And you wrap your rope around it. And for a moment, you take a break while your opponent struggles in vain, trying to pull you, not knowing what you did. And he simply, or she simply, cannot overcome the power of that tree. So while they tire themselves out, you take another breath, and that's what I told her to do. Just think about peace. That's what you want. And then just trust in God. Like we said before, Dr. Sonner said, trust, trust. And she was so right. And did you say that too?
I did.
Yes. So
trust.
You're both correct. You know, you trust. No, it's believe, and you'll
trusting
be given the
rather
way.
Trusting than trying.
Yeah.
Trusting. Yeah. Believe, and you'll be given the way. And from there, I simply told her about how yeast comes about and how you get an infection of yeast, how it becomes systemic, and the side effects from it are huge. They're very, very serious. And see, she had these rashes on her body, and in some areas her body would look like raw meat, and she couldn't understand what the rash was from. And I said, well, that rash that you have there, I know it's hard to believe this, but it's yeast. So when she went off of those foods that supply this to the body, the rashes immediately subsided, and then she had a little confidence in what I would say, and then we went to the next step, and the next step, and the next step, so that I put her on certain types of fish because she needed the omegas, and I put her on other types of certain vegetables because some were roots, some were top growth, some contained a lot of chlorophyll, some contained this, that, and the other thing. And altogether, slowly, we started to turn her. But it was very difficult because she was psychologically so impaired from the scar of being installed in a mental institution and wondering what her friends thought. And I said to her this, any true friend you had will never leave you. They might be gone just for a moment, but when you call them back, when I finish with you, they're going to say, hi, how are you? Where have you been? even though they might know and surmise that you've been having a rough time of it. But don't worry about it. Everybody has a rough time. So it started to work for her. And then slowly she got better, and then it got faster and faster. And I put her on a complete regimen of Angstrom Unit minerals. And I used a line of tinctures that a good friend of mine manufactures. And it just turned her around so quickly once we got to that plateau. But see, in the beginning, she couldn't take all these things. She wasn't able to comprehend or follow those instructions. She felt so ill. But that's how we did it.
You know, the topic of yeast and fungal infections, because they are systemic, and it's so, and the yeast and fungal issues are behind most diseases. I think that's an important topic. And when you said you explained to her how those come about, I think that would be a great thing to share with our audience. You know, how they go
sure.
systemic.
Yes. Here's what happens. Every one of us is totally a unique person. And our fingerprints prove that, because when you really analyze those, you know, they clearly show that, hey, you know what, you're the only person in the world that's got that exact signature of a print. So inside our bodies, chemically, our immune system and our RNA and DNA factors provide us with the only immune system exactly like our own. In other words, within ourselves, we're a total unit. But your neighbor, your friend, your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, anybody else, they may have similar properties, but they're not identical. So as such, when a person gets too much yeast in their body, things change within the blood. And the first thing that happens is that blood sugars start now to be magnified. And these originally were sugars that were good for you, but now they're kind of nasty. But they don't tell you that right away. They're deceitful and they hide. And as time goes on, you build up to a higher state of this yeast within you. And your organs have it now rather in a saturated state. Slow. It's not saturated at first, but it builds up there. And your natural properties of being able to eliminate yeast, mostly through the urine and, of course, through the bowel, they become impaired, because as more sugars come into the picture, the yeast can multiply now in a way that it couldn't before, even though you continued to eat bread or other things that contained baker's yeast. And that's the primary culprit, baker's yeast.
Baker's yeast is the primary culprit. Yeah. So, again, that all that white bread people have been eating.
All that bread.
Yeah, which creates, you know, all kinds of plaque over the receptors in the cells and in the colon.
Yeah.
And that white bread is kind of like, you know, wallpaper paste in the colon.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And they've
got the yeast fermenting in there.
But there is a bread we can have, right?
Yes.
There is a bread we can have, Dr. Rose.
Yeah.
Ezekiel,
you want to talk about
right?
that?
Because, yeah, I do. You know, I have a very good friend that is an acupuncturist, Chinese acupuncturist. He's very talented. And he said to me in the event that we put on last year, 2 years ago, he said, it's for any doctor of, you know, referring to the people, the practitioners that do what he does in the alternative way, for any of them to get their clients off bread is like the boon of existence. You've now arrived as a health practitioner. You got your client off bread. It's bread, coffee, alcohol, cigarettes, you know, heroin. They're some
yep.
of the most addictive things. I remember a time in my life when I was alone. Didn't have anybody, would come in from work at night. I could make myself 3 pieces of toast and a cup
yeah.
of tea. And that
yeah.
was supper. I would sit in front of the TV. Bread, it's like comfort. It's the epitome of comfort food, is it not?
But it's
yes.
hyper addictive. And then the white flour again
yeah.
is like white sugar
isn't it?
In the body. But the yeast, the overgrowth of the yeast.
Look how the French feel about their bread, cheese, and wine. The Italians bake bread. Bread is one of those things that sits fastened into the DNA somehow. It's comfort. Little air quotes here. It's comfort food, isn't it?
It's a paper
addictive.
Yes. And I think it's really important to talk about how addictive, how severe it is to our body, but how can we break the addiction to bread? Now, you said to me that I could have the Ezekiel bread, and you know what? That helps. When I want to go after bread as a comfort food, I will make myself a little egg salad or a little albacore salad. I will toast 2 pieces of the 9 or the 12 grain Ezekiel bread, and I think I have something fabulous.
Yeah. You do, yes.
You want to talk about that Ezekiel bread, by the way, for those that don't know. That's a sprouted grain bread. And when you sprout the grains, you've got really a different product. But also, I wanted to mention a little bit about the bread piece, too, that our wheat in the U.S. is treated with bromide, and that's another one of the big, big problems here that leads to obesity. So because it displaces chromium. And so, again, it creates more of the blood sugar problems and more obesity and more of the insulin resistance. And that's why you have so much difference in the health of the French people and the Italians versus what we have here. And that's because of that bromide. But anyway, what do you want to share about that, Johnny?
Oh, I was going to say, you know what you made me think of? This might be slightly off track, but I better say this before I forget it. If you study the way they grow so many crops here and you look at the pesticides they use, they go to great lengths in the United States to convince you that many of these pesticides are so very safe. But, of course, totally, you know that it can't actually really be safe for you because it kills insects or bugs
right.
or what have you. So you know that it has to have an effect on your cells, too. Now, here's part of... Pardon me?
I said, of course.
Yeah, and
this
you
should
know,
be obvious. It's poison.
Yeah, and you know what? These pesticides are estrogen-based. And when you start introducing the estrogen into society in this manner, you start having all types of problems. Example, if you go to the Great Lakes and you look at some of the plumage on the species of birds that are in the estuaries and the different regions around the borders of the tributaries that come into the Great Lakes and those that come out of the Great Lakes, you'll notice that the waterfowl, the color markings on the male and the female, they aren't the same as they necessarily were, say, 15 or 20 years ago. And the reason why is the amount of estrogen that has leached into the lakes. So that when...
Some of it's the runoff from all the hormone replacement therapy as well, and that's all going into our drinking water. I just saw more research, more studies that were released today about how much of the, you know, they're finding, you know, all variety of the pharmaceuticals in the drinking water. And so that's another piece. But one of the things I want to say about those two is they're estrogen mimickers in the body, you know. So, and so then you're also seeing things like frogs that are hermaphrodites and fish, and there's a whole lesion of things going on that they've linked now to the different pesticides and herbicides, but also they're saying some of it are just coming from the pharmaceuticals going downstream.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You have all factors coming in here to assault you, and what's sad is that the average person doesn't know anything about this, and you can't expect them to. I mean, they're not scientists, and as a consequence, certain people now go into puberty at such an extremely early age, And they're being robbed.
Oh, 9-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even
9-year-old
eight.
Girls are having menstrual periods. And, you know, how is the amount of milk with all the hormones, how is that affecting?
Exactly.
Right. See, that's the thing. It's the pesticides, like you talked about. It's also the drinking water is full of the pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. You've got all these estrogen mimickers. And then in our milk, our dairy, our meat, and our eggs, you've got all the hormones. And literally, children at, you know, 6 years old are getting breast buds and things like this. And then you're wondering, with all the estrogen dominance, I mean, that's linked also to prostate problems. It's linked to breast cancer. But it's also, are we wondering why there are so many people with gender confusion?
Right. Exactly. It facilitates the wrong end of the stick to happen. And instead, there is a natural process that is correct. When you alter the natural process, you're not happy.
Back to our happiness.
It always comes back.
Speaking of
it?
Happiness, well, you know, one of the things that I think we should talk about here is how thought and emotion are affecting our body as well as what we are eating. You know, this is a big one now, and especially with, you know, the movie The Secret making mainstream. I remember, who knows how many years ago, reading Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
Whatever the mind of man conceives and believes, we can achieve.
Exactly. And I know people that are eating the right way, and yet they're still, their thoughts and their feelings are so filled with things that make you, again, little air quotes, feel bad. And look at what's happening. Look at what happens to the body when you hold angers and judgments and prejudices, things that make the body feel a certain way, things that make the body manufacture acid as opposed to an alkaline state. Thought and feeling, let's pay attention to what we eat. Let's pay attention to how we think and feel.
Yeah, they are very linked, you know, because people stuff their feelings with their food as well. And so generally if people are having those kinds of acidic, toxic, caustic thoughts, they're going to be, again, eating, and this isn't really to pick on bread, but it is. The wheat is one of the things that I found to be the most predominant food used to suppress anger. It creates that passive aggressive situation in the body, but it plays out as a lot of passive aggressive behavior, the suppressed anger issues. A lot of people literally are stuffing their feelings by choosing to eat the breads, and whether they're using white bread or using Ezekiel bread, wheat will have some of that same effect.
So even if it's sprouted,
if you have enough of a carbohydrate pattern that you are slightly deficient and become more so deficient in the things that the entourage of colored vegetables would be able to supply you,
The brain needs carbohydrates, so what it really needs is to be fed with complex carbohydrates.
There's a couple other things, too, that one might consider here. The world of amino acids is a very valuable tool in assisting people who are having any type of a thought problem. And here again, we could take people who are experiencing difficulties, or they might be admitting that they're stressed a lot, things of this nature. And the usage of B vitamins in and of itself is not the whole answer to either assist with stress problems or to help prevent stress problems.
Yes, because we hear so much about the doctors or the alternative health practitioners will say, well, you need a full spectrum B, and that's going to help you deal with your stress level. It doesn't cover it, does it?
No, and you know, you just made a tremendous statement, and I credit you for it, and I'll tell you why. Years ago, if one ever listened to Dr. Carlton Fredericks, he used to be on WOR radio out of New York.
Yeah.
He made a statement.
I know who he is.
Yeah. He made a couple of statements about all of these things, and he was right. And one of those was that if you were to look, let's just take the introduction now of vitamins, and let's take vitamin C. If you take vitamin C in a quantity of 1,000 milligrams, that level is not the level you want to take for most people's bodies. The reason why is it triggers an acid response within you at 1,000 milligrams. So if you took it at 500 or 700 or something along that line, you're going to find that you're going to do a lot better with the property of it. And then, if you looked at, again, the world of amino acids, you will find that amino acids work much better when you do that as well.
That's so, nearly like a homeopathic dosage. Less is more.
In a case of measurements, yes. And yet, at the same time, if a person had a reason for specifically using estrogen C for a detox program of a particular type, you would be able to take that estrogen C because of the way it's released differently than you would a regular type of a vitamin C tablet, or you could take much more of the vitamin C and go far beyond 1,000 milligrams and you'll be fine.
Wait a minute there. Speaking of vitamin C, there's a lot of different forms of it. And I know you said estrogen C. I think, did you mean there's ester C or there's emergent C? But I don't think we meant estrogen C.
ester C. I'm sorry.
Ester C. And we really want ester C with rose hips. We really want to combine those two things.
Yeah, and the rutin too.
Yeah, so you have more of the cofactors of the vitamin C.
Right.
Yeah, and the bioflavonoids, which is with the rutin, which is from buckwheat, and the rose hips, of course, have all the, again, it's the bioflavonoid complex that with the vitamin C, which is a very, very different product than if you just have the synthetic vitamin C, which is made from coal tar.
Right.
Coal tar. That's interesting. I wonder how many people realize it's made from coal tar.
Well, probably not too many, and that's why the supermarket or the synthetic line of vitamins stays in existence. But once a person realizes that you need to have the real McCoy, you need to have them naturally extracted, that's when those companies start losing customers.
Yes, and really what folk need to understand is that if they eat a diet that is almost, at least 85-90% raw fruits and vegetables, they don't have to worry too much about, taking supplements and, because they're getting it. And probably one of the most important thing is if they're not eating all of the meats and heavily cooked foods and that sort of thing that actually rob the body. They don't need to take in such huge quantities of something. When you eat a diet that's rich in uncooked foods, you're being supplied with what you need, and you're not filling it up with trash that's depleting you, so it isn't taking away from what you're eating. You can really be pretty balanced by eating a nearly raw diet.
Yeah, and in defense of those people who like meat, I really want to say there's a difference in the qualities of meat, and there are people that advocate a raw diet, using only raw meats. But again, any of these things, if you're going to use meat, get organic. Get the grass-fed, get the organic, do not, because the commercial meats are full of hormones and antibiotics, which then destroys your own intestinal flora. So, you know, it's about making healthier choices and looking for some balance. I had Dr. Shintani here, who wrote the Why Not Diet book, and he's, you know, he's an expert or very famous in Hawaiian health. And he talked about, too, you know, you can eat a huge volume of raw foods, you know, and of vegetables, you know, where, you know, there's, it's giving you so much value, and then there's no way you can put on weight because the caloric density is not there in regards to balancing blood sugar and stuff, because you've got the high fiber with it too. So,
you know, something
it's about
I
making
think
better choices. And he recommends fish.
Yeah, and you notice too
something
when you
eat that way.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, something I think that needs to be addressed that I think we don't talk about enough is why people are so addicted and how I think it's a conscious thing in their consciousness, what it takes to get unaddicted to the way we're raised. You know, I talk with people all the time, and they say, well, you know, I eat the way I ate when I was a child. My parents put a beef roast and potatoes and, you know, a heavily cooked vegetable and a loaf of homemade bread, and that's what we ate every night. Well, I think one of the most important things that we can give people to live by is a way to move out of that, because it's the addiction of the food. How do we get out of that? How can we reprogram ourselves to, you know, want to eat these other foods that don't taste the way what we were raised on?
Well, what you're really mentioning here is actually a type of hypoglycemia. Example, every diabetic and every alcoholic is first a hypoglycemic. And the reason for this is that in the world of carbohydrates and sugars, what the brain becomes quite attached to the things it thinks it wants. And when you train yourself to eat correctly, the brain can then see an alternate route that it couldn't see before. An example, if you eat correctly, like you were saying before, both of you, about the vegetables, and Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Sandra, I think you were talking about the manner in which you could eat a large amount of these things and not gain weight. Wasn't that what you said?
Yes.
Right. And see, if we contrast that to the other way in the world of a lot of bread or a lot of noodles and pasta and things like that, you'll notice that after you eat the bread or the noodles, about an hour later, you're really hungry again, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but when you eat the other way, you can go quite a while without food. In other words, you don't have that hunger pain.
Well, you know what they say about Chinese food. You eat and you're full, and an hour later you want something. I'm just being silly, guys.
The noodles, it is, right? I mean, it's true what you said.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the MSG.
And the MSG. And that's another thing, because Dr. Rose was at my house last week, and she gets in the refrigerator. We're looking for, you know, what we want to make salad dressing. And she pulls out a bottle of dressing, and she says, look at this. This has MSG, but it didn't say MSG. Did it?
That one actually said monosodium glutamate, and I threw it in the trash.
Oh, did that one? And you threw it in the trash.
Wishbone.
Wishbone, and it is directly attributing to penile dysfunction. Yes.
All kinds of dysfunction, but yeah.
All kinds of dysfunction.
No, but there went our half.
There
went our half penis, okay?
Yeah, that does not make anybody happy when things don't do what they're supposed to do. Now, guys and dolls, this is important both to the women and to the men. It has a direct effect on erectile dysfunction. Not a place any man that I have ever known in my life wants to go. And it isn't a place that any woman wants her man to go.
And you
so,
know what else,
and again,
too?
It's dysfunction, and again, it's part of it. It raises blood sugar and drops it. You know, and that's part of that hypoglycemic effect that John is talking about. And that's part of that addiction cycle.
Yeah, and you know what you could add to this equation? When you talk about MSG, if you looked at autolyzed protein or hydrolyzed protein, any of those in that family, they're the same derivatives, and they accomplish the same end as the MSG. And if you go to a supermarket or even some of the Epicure-type shops and you pick up the soups and you read the labels, you're mortified between the corn syrups, the autolyzed protein,
sodium,
the hydrolyzed proteins. It's in all of these soups, and you have to ask yourself, why in the world didn't you make a soup like Mom used to make, or your next-door neighbor who was a good cook or somebody that made a home-stock soup that tasted great? Why don't you do that? Because if you do can it, it tastes great when you open it. It tastes better than what you're making with all of these similar ingredients. And, you know, you start to wonder, why do they all have this in there?
Well, listen, I wanted to mention first just one moment about that. They, you know, people grew up using bullion cubes. And again,
right,
those are MSG, and or you see the autolyzed yeast, and maybe we'll go back to Johnny, have you share some of the different names for MSG, where they're hidden, where it doesn't say MSG, but it's really autolyzed this and that. Anyway, back to you, Rain.
Well, when I was growing up, we didn't have any of that. We boiled a chicken or a piece of beef. Our chickens were raised, I'm brought up in Pennsylvania, a little town on a farm. We had horses, cows, chickens. Our chickens ate completely differently. And, you know, when we made a chicken stock, we boiled the chicken. It was filled with vegetables, carrots and celery and onion and garlic and heaven only knows, spinach, what was in there. And that was our broth. That was our stock. And, you know, it tasted wonderful. When I look at the salt, the potassium amount, for pity's sake, in a quart of soup mix, there's 3/4 of a salt shaker. We didn't add salt to our food like that. Things
right.
tasted wonderful, and they weren't horrible for you. They may not. Okay, so a boiled chicken and cooked vegetables are not the best way for you to eat, but it's not like opening a can of Campbell's.
You're absolutely right.
Food back then wasn't like it is now.
No, and the canned properties, they are so adulterated that you no longer have a product that even tastes good, so they try to slip in all these taste-enhancing things like MSG and so
yeah.
on. And in reality, we're missing the nutrients, and the taste still isn't even good, although they tried to jazz it up and make it seem as though it were.
Exactly.
Yeah, MSG is something they use to try and make something taste like it has more aliveness because it's dead. It's so dead.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that they use as a flavor enhancer. And then, like I said, a lot of it doesn't say MSG. It says autolyzed yeast. It says, what's some of the different names of it, Johnny?
Hydrolyzed protein. And there are
mm-hmm.
offshoots of these. Like I saw a new brand of soup the other day, and they had doctored up and combined auto-hydrolyzed. So, you know, you're going to see everything on those labels, and you have to be a chemist to be able to stop to think, well, gee, what is this? And what it boils down to is it's basically the same type of sweeteners that are adversely affecting our health. And what's really shameful about it is that your body, when it gets these, is attacked in about 5 different ways. And from a neurological standpoint, that is where the most damage is done long term, because it can actually change receptors in your brain. And that's serious.
Okay. And let's go to a place that, let's take the next step in this, what we're feeding our children. Okay. I read for my granddaughters, or to my granddaughter's second grade class. I'm very animated when I read. I put on an act. They love it. So I go in and I read them stories every few weeks, and then I go to lunch with my granddaughter. I've now been to lunch 4 times. I want somebody to tell me what that is that they are feeding to our children. I want to know what's in it. Why is there nothing alive? Why is there nothing whole? And why is it that they expect our kids to eat that kind of stuff and then go back to school and learn something and sit still and not be hyper? This is a subject that is beyond near and dear to me, because it is what is directly affecting the future of our world, our Earth.
Yeah. I'll say this much. Dr. Sandra, I didn't want to cut you off. Did I do so?
No, go for it. You know,
okay.
We're talking about child abuse here.
Uh-huh.
It is child abuse. And here's what's essentially taking place. Again, the property of the human body is that it's a regulatory system, and it can talk to itself through brain and nerve impulses and direct the components, i.e. our organs, what to do and how to function. When we deprive the system of the ingredients necessary for it to undertake its operations, then you're shortchanged, and it has to manifest itself in some kind of a price that we pay. And we pay that price usually through, if you notice a person's memory, or if you notice a person's ability in the short term to remember what the teacher said 15 or 20 minutes ago, and she repeated it twice, but the student can't remember it right now because they came back from lunch or something, and after eating these foods, they're now further impaired.
Yes, and then you combine that with the fact that the way each child communicates is different. Some of us communicate in an auditory way. Some of us communicate through a visual. Some of us communicate through a kinesthetic. And the teacher stands up there and is talking to a group of children that have been literally put to sleep by the amount of chemical that's been put into their body. And then she attempts to speak to them and teach them in a manner that is outside of their language.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody tell me, where do we go from here? How do we fix this?
Well, one of our solutions, like we talked about earlier, is getting the energy enhancement system available to children, because it supports the super learning states, but it also supports the body in detoxing, you know, or eliminating, or, you know, eliminating some of those toxic chemicals and things they've been given. It also gives the body the right energy for the, you know, really, really enhanced nerve function and brain function. And so it's an easy way to turn things around, like a miracle. You know, besides, you know, EarthSave was an organization that's created great programs. It was John Robbins did EarthSave, and they put together programs for schools for improving the school lunch programs. And I know some schools implemented changes or put in salad bars, for example, and things like that.
And something else, Dr. Rose, that I think is really important to talk about here, because you and I are talking about taking the scalar into the school system. I think this just has to be a project here. There's two things. One, how we don't realize how stress affects our children. We think about stress affecting people that are older. Oh, heart problems, climbing the corporate ladder, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? Our kids get stressed, and they don't get to eat right, and they can't make any choices for themselves.
Well,
okay, so you have that. All of that.
Being forced to sit in a room under fluorescent lights and in these unhealthy environments, they've taken away recess, they've taken away music, and they've taken away art, and so there's no support for their creativity, for them being kids, for them being able to exercise, and they really are not getting the programs that they used to get, or being supported in learning in the ways that, you know, kids, I mean, that's proven of how they learn. So it's an interesting
And I'm glad that
situation.
You brought up the exercise part, because as a grown adult, can you sit for 6 hours?
Well, children are never ever meant to do that, okay?
Never.
Well, do I agree with you, because I have long advocated a complete change in the school day. It's ridiculous the way that students are required to go to school, and again, as you mentioned, this length of time and whatnot, and I've reversed it, and I've taken my nieces and nephews for very short periods of time, and we called it a school day. They are homeschooled, and in no time, they have memorized all of the 50 state capitals and the primary products that each state produces, and they can get up and talk in front of a little group. They're not afraid. They're happy. They're bubbly. And, you know, you have to look at them and say, how in the world was that accomplished? My kid went to school over such and such a place, and they've gotten this drilled into their head for so many hours, and they still only know about 80% of it, if they're lucky. So I agree with you on what you said about
Johnny,
the 6 hours.
Johnny, grok this. You know, you've seen the research about what the effect that Scalar has on stress.
Yes.
Can you imagine if we put Scalar energy into the lunchrooms, and lunch was a slow thing? Now we were herded into the lunchroom to the cafeteria like cattle. There was a separate salad bar that was for the teachers. The stuff that was on the kids' salad bar was Jell-O and cottage cheese and iceberg lettuce. I think there was some canned corn on there. But could you imagine if food was tweaked just a little here, and we had Scalar energy and lunch was slowed down, and the children could sit in the energy for, say, maybe 45 minutes, have some kind of an activity in the lunchroom that they could listen to a story or something like that. Can you imagine how Scalar energy would affect these children and what they're capable of learning? And I liked what you said about the way children learn. The Waldorf system, I don't know who out there listening or that either of you know about the Waldorf system, but this is a phenomenal school system. You know, one teacher knows your children for 8 years, and math and history and politics or, you know, current affairs or whatever are taught through the means of art and theater and dance and music. What if we fed our kids like that, put them in Scalar energy, and taught them in a completely different way? I'm wondering what kind of human beings we would be creating on Earth today.
I'll tell you what would happen. The United States would be first and foremost among all nations with students who were incredibly bright, so much so that you'd wonder if we had two suns during the daytime.
Oh, I like it so much.
In other words, it really works. What you said, you did it so well. It's actually true. If you gave the child the nutritive component or the nutritional component, any way you want to say it, and you gave them real stuff that they're eating instead of garbage or refined processed foods and all these coloring agents and the way that they're grown artificially. Grow them naturally. Give them the real McCoy. And then, if you ever gave them this machine that Dr. Sandra, through, I believe, God's grace, she was able to come up with how to do this, mm-hmm. I think that you would see such a profound result in America's students that you would find that delinquency and tardiness and all of these things would absolutely go out the window, and you would find that children would be much more responsive, they would be much more constructive, and like we started this all off by saying, they'd be a lot happier too.
Oh, yeah. Just to feed them. I had a client that came to me about 2.5 years ago, and she had a 4-year-old. And this was one of those 4-year-olds that, oh, I hate saying this, but it was true. She would be the mother and the child that you would see coming, and you would say, oh, God, lock the door, close the blinds, act like we're not here. Don't make any noise. This child was 4.5 handfuls, absolutely. And when she sat down with me, the first thing that I got about him, I said, how much soy does this child eat? Oh, we give him soy. He has soy milk, and he eats at a NAMI, and, he had soy formula. Boy, we're real holistic, you know. And I said, never, ever, ever, ever give this child soy again. Soy destroys the thyroid. Soy lays in the lower intestine, kind of like heated up margarine. But soy, you know, there was a study that was done, and I don't remember who was on my radio show that was talking about this. Could have been Kevin Trudeau, was talking about a study that was done. No, it was John Barron. It was John Barron that talked about a study on soy. Soy was given to baby birds. And it was at the seed, however soy is seeded. I've never seen it, so I really don't know. But they said that the birds grew beautifully. They developed beautiful colored feathers, and their song, their voice, came early, and it was beautiful. And then they died. And then they croaked. They checked out. They were gone. Well, what happens here? You know, what's going on? Soy isn't something we need to feed our children. They need to have fruit and you know, a little kefir and, I don't know, Sandra Rose, what do we need to raise up our babies on?
Well, I do want to talk about that. And soy is something that has been used for thousands of years in the Asian culture. The Asians, both Japan, China, all the Asians use soy. However, it's the fermented soys. It's not the protein powders, and it's not like they drank gallons of soy milk either, or dead soy milk for sure. You know, it was made fresh if they used that. But like natto is a cultured soy that is phenomenal. There's nothing better for cleaning up the arteries, increasing circulation, eliminating varicose veins even. Natto, phenomenal.
Is that N-A-T-O? I'm
N-A-T-T-O.
Sorry, but say that again.
Natto.
N-A-T-T-O. Okay,
yeah,
natto.
It's a Japanese. And you've got the tempehs and miso. Miso, again, it's cultured, and that's very, very balancing and healing for the body. Don't ever heat it. You know, it's meant to be a live food. So, you add it last when you've got the hot water. You don't cook it. And so that's some of the mistakes that Westerners make. Oh, miso's great. They put it in the pot and they boil it.
Or they microwave it.
Or they microwave it, which, again, destroys all nutrition whatsoever because the body cannot then relate to it as food at all. And so it becomes more stuff for the body to deal with, and it creates radiolytic byproducts, and the toxicity is stored in the fat, and you've got a whole problem with the microwaving. Do not nuke your food, okay? Do not go there. It's not worth the hassle. And these are some of the things that people, need to be aware of. But I think, so some of it is the form of the soy. One of the biggest problems with soy is the GMOs. you know, it's all been genetically modified. Most of it's been genetically modified, and that's even affected those that are trying to do organic at this point. So there's a lot of problems with our food supply in looking at these things. But, you know, soy formula is not something I would ever recommend for a child. You know, I'd rather have, you know, there are live foods that work very well.
My daughter had to put Brett on a real live formula, and it had carrot juice and coconut milk and almond milk. I don't remember what all was in it, but it was pretty tasty stuff.
Dr. Sandra?
Yeah. What were you going to say, Johnny?
Are you holding a hammer right now?
No.
Do you have you don't have a hammer in your hand?
No.
Oh, because you hit all the nails on the head. can I add one thing to it?
Yes, please.
Here's part of the problem. Why some people do so very badly with soy products. And what Dr. Sandra said is absolutely true. And here's part of why the confusion happens. In the world of minerals, the minerals are like little nanotechnologists. They can go in there, especially when you're using the angstrom unit size. And let's take zinc just for a second. Now, for a moment, realize that zinc aids in all of the usage of vitamins in your body. If you don't have enough zinc, you do not use them either synergistically within themselves, like A and D, compatibly, and you don't even use singular ones correctly. You also have developmental problems. You have problems maintaining body tissues, you have growth problems, sexual dysfunction, you have chemical detoxification problems, you have immune problems, and you have DNA problems. So it also helps, if you have the right amount of zinc, to reduce healing times before or after any kind of an operation. It's also an antioxidant, and it's able to be used in a proper balance and cause proper balances within 25 major enzyme systems, at least, in various functions involving digestion, reproduction, and metabolism. So
well, another
now,
important function of zinc is for the prostate too. So you know, let's mention that prostate issue because, you know. But I wanted to mention when you say angstrom, that you know what that means is it's an absorbable form. The subangstrom size means it can be absorbed into the cells. So you want to mention a little bit about that too, probably.
Yeah, an angstrom unit is 1/10 billionth of a meter, and in the small intestine, you can't absorb anything larger than 15 microns or 15 millionths of a meter. So when you go to an angstrom unit, you're 10,000 times smaller than you are when you're dealing with millionths and you're going into the billionths. In other words, a micron is a millionth. So in this way, what Dr. Sandra said opens up another door, and it's amazing to think about this, but here's the simple truth about it. The body is so complex, and the issues of life and the electrical flow and grids within the body are so complex that when you're deprived of some of these naturally occurring particles in very, very small sizes, and we're talking here smaller than 15 microns. Again, you can absorb anything 15 microns or smaller. But when you get into the billionths, now you can change not only a general property within the molecule, but you can change an atomic property over time within the body where a system is not right. And that's how God designed this thing. And it's so amazingly complex that no one, again, will ever be able to unravel all of this because you get into the world of subatomic particles and you can only partially prove or fully prove a few of those as even existing. But there's much smaller particles that govern their world. And that's why man, he can try forever, but he can never duplicate life. In other words, he has to use raw materials, but the Creator didn't use anything. He just simply made it. And in that sense, you would have to say that if you're deprived again of the things that you needed to do your job and your work within your body, you don't have the same results. So just quickly, back to the zinc, and I'll give the floor back to you girls. If you looked at a person who was involved with birth defects, like Down syndrome or spina bifida, clubbed limbs, a cleft lip, a hiatal hernia, all these things, umbilical cord problems, you'll find that in almost all of these cases, the mom didn't have enough zinc while carrying that child. And it's also a very strong antibacterial and antiviral issue within the body for you to have. So you want to have enough zinc. And it's found in every inch of all of your body fluids, like the lungs, your saliva, your nose, your eyes. And it moves through these fluids and creates a defense against any infection-causing bacteria or viruses. When they try to enter the body, it stops them. And it deals with them right away. And zinc, by the way, is stored primarily in the pancreas, thyroid, kidneys, bones, liver, voluntary muscles, the prostate, hair, nails, skin, sperm, white blood corpuscles, and parts of your eyes. So you can see how important just, and we're only talking about one mineral. And imagine, the United States is very short on zinc in its soil. So can you see why we're in the mess we're in?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was thinking about something as I was listening to you talk about the size of a micron that we can absorb. Well, if food is cooked too much, if there's not enough enzyme left in it, then the body excretes different types of acids to break down and digest that food, and it still doesn't get broken down fine enough, so it enters into the small and the large intestine and literally perforates the intestine. It's referred to as what? Leaky gut syndrome, because the body can't absorb it and assimilate it and turn it into, you know, either what the body can use or what it needs to excrete. So anyway, in this condition of leaky gut syndrome, those poisons leak out into the system and are directly attributed to everything, Alzheimer's and heart disease and, you know, ad infinitum. We could sit here all night long and talk about what is connected to leaky gut syndrome. Just made me think of that. You know, that's an important thing for people to know, that if they don't eat enough raw food or take enzymes, if they're eating a cooked meal, they're not digesting properly.
Yeah, that would be sure on a large complement of things, you're right, that are necessary to do that job. And another factor that happens for so many people, and this was a property that I neglected to mention earlier for my friend, that girl that was in such bad shape physically. She needed to have her colon cleansed. And on the wall of her large intestine, which is the colon, she had so much old fecal material built up in there that you can't do your job right. And even the small intestine slowly gets adversely affected when the colon itself is adversely affected. Your system backs up, and now you're not doing anything correctly to the extent that you need to do it. In other words, you might be operating on 79% or 61% or 54%, and you start going down, 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 and then all of a sudden you notice one day these people do, when they go in to move their bowels, they seemingly have to go, but they can't. So they go to see their doctor, and he says, well, I'm going to send you to your oncologist, or an oncologist, a friend of mine, a specialist, because we need to take a closer look. Well, what the doctor already knows is that probably the person has cancer, because this has gone so long now in there that the materials have fermented in the intestine. And as you mentioned before with the leaky gut syndrome, you start getting little tiny fissures and tears, and the fermentation takes place in there, and all of a sudden now you have cancer of the colon. So if we look retrospectively at all we've all said and discussed, the three of us, we find out that when you're healthy, you are happy because your colon doesn't have to go through this, and the rest of you is not absorbed by the impure particles or the toxins that would come from this. And this is one of the primary sources of absorption and reabsorption of particles that are very injurious to you if you have not properly excreted them.
What is your favorite way of cleansing the colon?
My favorite way?
Yes. What do you recommend the most?
I'll tell you the greatest thing that I have ever seen. And then after, I'll tell you some other ways that a person can do it, too. And I'm sure you girls probably have something that I don't even know about. There are many ways, and I recognize everybody's individual pathway to do this. But here's the one I find that is so extremely effective. If you live anywhere in the northeastern parts of the United States, and although I've been everywhere except Alaska, I just can't remember what each state's properties are for growing these, but I'm speaking here of wild grapes. When you take them in the area in which I live, and you mash them up, and you drink the juice, and you drink or eat part of the pulp, don't leave home, because this is the greatest cleanser I have ever seen.
Yeah.
And what comes out of you, you cannot believe what comes out of you, but it completely cleanses the entire colon.
That was called the old grape cure. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That was called the grape cure.
I mean, I've done this for people who had really serious problems, and they were fixed.
And you said wild grapes. Now, are you talking about the grapes that don't get very large? They really, when they're ready to eat or use, they aren't any bigger around. Maybe they're a little bit maybe than an eraser. Those wild grapes?
Well, sometimes, see, depending upon the way that the grapevines are fertilized, sometimes they don't grow large and they can stay small like that, but usually in most cases where grapevines grow, and they can be, by the way, black, red, or even mixtures in between, you will find that the average size for these grapes is about the size of a nickel. A little bit larger, slightly larger than a nickel.
Oh, okay.
Would these be what we call Concord grapes, or are these...
In many cases, yes, a wild grape can be called a Concord grape, but there are also just so many derivatives. Like where I live here, I think I have about 8 different types of wild grapes. If you were to really look at them closely, you will see textures and you will see the natural sheen of the grape or the natural pectin, which forms a cloud on the outside of the grape. You'll see things of that nature and other properties that all fruits have are inherent in the grape. The grape is, in my estimation, the grape is absolutely one of the top 3 greatest fruits because of what it can do for you. One of the drawbacks is that you kind of pucker a little bit with wild grapes, even though they do contain their own sugars. They may not be, if you want to use an analogy, the exact cup of tea you were hoping for, because they're just a little bit sour, a little tart in a different way, and they're a little bit potent. But boy, if you want to talk about health, they will give it to you. And then the other way that you were thinking of, perhaps, Dr. Sandra, was if a person were to utilize clay properly, you can use clay to cleanse and absorb much of the wrongful materials in the colon. And in this manner, when you use it, I like to use it slower. Some people use it faster, or certain physicians will give a person a little bit faster regimen. But I had a girl come to me who was a teacher, and she said to me, you know, I am required to be in front of those students, and I simply can't take something whereby I have to leave, like those advertisements you might see on TV. So I told her how to do this with a clay, a natural clay that you get, and it simply absorbs a lot of that fecal material. And then I use some other things too, different types of tinctures that can be employed, and even milk thistle, which is good for the liver, is also good for the colon. It has amazing properties of cleansing. And then you can use hyacinth and other types of things in the herb world, too, you know, that can help bring it about. But a person can learn a great deal by simply looking it up in any kind of a medical dictionary that's tilted toward the natural side of things, or certainly on the internet.
Dr. Rose, do we need to take a break? This has been a fabulous show. I think anybody listening to this would say, ooh, this was a good one. I'm thinking that we might need to take a break and bring another guest online.
Yeah, we have Michael Brown. Michael Brown with Healthy Weight Supermarket, remember?
I know we do.
We were going to talk more about weight loss. And
weight loss.
His specialty, yeah. Although we've really touched on that, too. This has been a great... Now you know why I love talking to Johnny America.
I know.
And I always love talking to you, too.
You've been phenomenal. Should we take a break? Would you like to take a break, or do you want to keep going?
Yeah, well, let's take a break. Do we have the music from DJ Scalar, Scalar E., for our break?
And so we need to contact our engineers out there in engineer land.
Yes, where is Seth?
You know what they did, girls? They went shopping to get some of the things we were talking about so they could become healthy.
Absolutely, that's exactly what happened. Seth or Dawn, are you listening to us?
They went to the supermarket shopping.
Okay, well, as soon as we can contact an engineer out there, and, you know, we say this on every one of the shows that we do, we are doing internet radio, and it's different than radio that is done in a broadcasting studio where I'm sitting at a table with headphones and microphone in front of me, and I'm looking through a big glass window at my engineer who holds up signs and his fingers, and he has the ability to flip a switch and talk to me so that the people out there in listening land can't hear anything. It's different when you're doing internet radio, and these are just kind of things that we, you know, kind of go along with and say, okay, well, we're looking for an engineer out there. He's set up in the equipment someplace, flipping switches, doing whatever it is that he does. So do we have an engineer listening to us yet?
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, you know, we've all been through a learning experience, and even today with the technical difficulties on getting us all on on the radio.
Yeah. Getting us up and getting us in tune with one another. It just isn't like it is in the radio station that you listen to that's broadcast, you know, over the tower that you go to your radio tuners and switch the channels. It's completely different. It's set up different. So, and, you know, an interesting thing, much of satellite radio comes off of internet radio. I find that interesting. This is really the up-and-coming radio. Interesting fact also, did you know that the seven deadly words that you're not allowed to say on FCC-type regulated radio, you can say anything you want to on internet radio? I thought that was fascinating.
That's good to know.
Well, I want to compliment both of you girls for using all good words, because you did a better job than people who use those bad ones. We don't need them.
Well, but just in case I was a mind to, I could haul off and let one rip, and nothing, I wouldn't be fined $10,000. I like that. Of course, I probably never will do that, but listen, if I wanted to, you know.
Yeah, but you know what? You're much the better person for the exemplary way you conduct yourself. And Dr. Sandra, you too.
Oh, thank you. And we thank BBS Radio for having us on. And, you know, listeners can actually call in 877-270-8714. 877-270-8714. Call us. Give us
questions,
comments. Yeah.
You know, we have a couple of other sponsors, Dr. Rose. You know, Fate Magazine sponsors us, and we don't really give them enough stuff. Fate Magazine and Utadi oils, essential oils. For those of you that have never had experience with essential oils, or for those of you who have had experience perhaps with somebody like Young Living, it's a real okay product. We don't want to put anybody's stuff down. Utadi, 7th generation Egyptian medicinal oil makers. If you want essential oils, Utadi. And Utadi sponsors us by advertising us, letting their mailing list know that Dr. Rose and Dr. Rain are out there with such a long lineup of illustrious guests. We're out there doing radio and Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine is the oldest paranormal publication in the United States. Used to be owned by Llewellyn, who is one of the premier metaphysical alternative publishing companies, you know, do a lot on witchcraft and psychic things and tarot and astrology and things like that. But Llewellyn used to publish Fate Magazine, and Phyllis Galdie bought the publishing rights to Fate Magazine, and she is now Galdie Press. And I'm trying to think of one of her associates who writes a premier book, David Godwin. What is his book? It is on Hebrew. It is also on Jewish mysticism, Kabbalah. He writes a Kabbalistic dictionary type stuff. But Phyllis Galdie at Galdie Press is now the owner of Fate Magazine, and she does a phenomenal job, and she prints an ad in every magazine that goes out, and Fate Magazine has a mailing list of, I don't know, what is it, 1.5 million people out there that subscribe to Fate Magazine. The other cool thing about Phyllis is she says, Rain, tell people, call me. I have T-shirts, ball caps, keychains, free magazines, you name it, I'm giving away stuff. I have Fate Magazine cups. So, you know, a special thanks to these people because they put us on their mailing lists and they tell people, listen to Dr. Rain, listen to Dr. Rose, because, you know, there's information that you need to have. So, you know, we really want to give a special thanks to Utadi.com. Go to Utadi.com and FateMag.com. Check these people out because they support Talk Truth Radio.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rain. And, you know, this is Talk Truth Radio. And it's great that they're putting an ad in the paper in the magazine for us. Mm-hmm. This is about, you know, where you come to have your cells vibrate with that resonance of truth, because that's where it's the truth that sets us free and gives us our aliveness and that enthusiasm where we're filled with that energy to heal ourselves and the world.
Yeah. You know, you can visit us
online too, eesystem.com. You know, And if somebody wants to email me directly any questions, comments, it's Sandra, S-A-N-D-R-A, at eesystem.com.
And my website, we should do our websites too, Sandra. My website is www.drrainmorgan.com. And Dr. Rose is eesystems.com.
System.
Learn. Get on the website and learn about Scalar.
EE System, no S on there. eSystem.com. But give us your feedback, give us your comments, give us your questions, and we'll get them answered. And, you know, this is Talk Truth Radio.
I'm wondering if we have an engineer out there yet. We've certainly had a lot to say. Thinking that we were going to get an engineer, give them time, and they were going to get back to us and say, hey, we're going to take a break, and we're going to call up another one of our guests because, you know, we need to have conversation that's, you know, it's intriguing, it's interesting, it keeps people listening, it's feeding their minds and their souls. That's what we really endeavor to do.
And we've talked about the body today.
Sure,
you know, as far as how do you feed the body and how that relates to, you know, mind, body, spirit, medicine. Anyway, we do want to thank our special guest for having Johnny Amerik on. And Johnny, would you be willing to do more radio with us?
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were talking there about a number of different things, and I'm thinking of how true it was, your statement about truth radio. Because you are not free if you don't have that truth. You're absolutely right about that. And, I mean, how many people are laboring under false illusions? They either do not know some of these things, or if they do know them, they don't put them into practice, and so you become a prisoner of the wrong side of the fence.
Yeah, there's an old Bible quote that says, better that you never knew.
Yeah.
I wonder about that because, you know, there's a mindset when we eat things or we drink things or we, you know, imbibe in some way and we say, oh, I really shouldn't do that. You know, better that you just go ahead and do it than that you hang that bad feeling on top of it also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and then there's also, if you know you shouldn't do something, don't do it. And do something that's more fun.
Don't do it.
Do
right,
something better.
Yeah.
You know, find something. I used to tell my kids, find something you love even more.
And that's something that we always say we're going to talk about, Dr. Rose. You know, one of the weeks that we did a show, we talked about a everything in twos soup, that it's a cold soup, and it has, two avocados, two stalks of celery, two beets.
Yeah, my gourmet cold beet soup. Yeah, beautiful soup. And it's extremely alkalinizing, and it's what I've recommended for, you know, geez, close to 30 years, I think, for people with cancer and things like that, because cancer cannot exist in an alkaline system. This alkalinizes, it detoxes the liver, the gallbladder, it's a gentle thing, and it's absolutely delicious. I've served it to 5-star chefs. I mean, they've gone, oh, my God, this is just so beautiful. You put it in a beautiful bowl, and it's gorgeous. The recipe for that soup, you want me to go over that again?
I do.
Wait, okay. Let me get a knife and a fork and a bowl and some napkins and a glass and things before you so I can eat it.
Yeah, and get your blender.
I have
your blender or your Vitamix, but blenders work perfectly fine for this one.
I'm going to reconstitute it. From your verbiage, I'm going to reconstitute it and enjoy it while you're talking.
Yeah.
All right.
Like five-star exquisite, or what I call eating orgasmically. It's orgasmic organics, you know, because it's taking time to pleasure yourself with the unlimited flavors and forms of God's love, you know, and it's willing to love ourselves so much. It's like called radical self-love. And so what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, it's having that passionate love affair with yourself. And let's have that with our food. Why not serve ourselves, you know, on our finest china with a, you know, a beautiful place setting, and let it be a love affair, a passionate love affair. But anyway, this is the most beautiful soup, and it's something you would want to serve for Valentine's Day. Because it's gorgeous. And yes, it's 1 to 2 of everything, depending on what you've got or what the size is. And so, and you just throw it all in the blender. So that would be 1 to 2 avocados, because that makes it rich and creamy. 1 to 2 beets, 1 to 2 carrots, 1 to 2 stalks of celery, the juice of 1 to 2 lemons. You can throw in some garlic. 1 or 2 chunks of ginger is really good in it too. And some good Celtic salt or Himalayan pink salt. Again, our bodies do require good salts. And these are ones that nourish us and give the body the right energy for the electrical system. So you want to use the good salts. And some fresh herbs, like some fresh dill, or what I love is just, you know, putting fresh cilantro on top or fresh basil. But anyway, so you just add enough water, or you can add some aloe vera juice in that and turn the blender on. Add enough water to blend. After you just throw everything in the blender and let it blend and pour that into the bowl. And it's creamy, it's delicious, it's beautiful. And if there's some left, that's great. Put it in the fridge. It's even better the next day.
There won't be anything left.
Now, we were talking about not leaving the house for a little space of time. I call that a parenthesis in time. Stay in the house, because this is going to have a cleaning effect.
It's gentle. It's not like you're going to go running or anything.
Okay. But wasn't that what
avocado,
Dr. Gray said?
With the avocado and all that, it's
and the beet.
So nourishing, and it's got the
yeah.
right balance of fats, and it's and avocado balances the blood sugar so effectively. But the beets are a wonderful gentle cleanser. And this is one of my favorite cleansers for the colon, that is for sure.
I think that sounds fabulous.
I do too.
We want to have a bowl of that, don't we?
I'm having it now, girls. I reconstituted it as she was talking.
Yeah, I know. I can do it, too. Yes, I can just see it in my beautiful blue iridescent pearlized bowl. And, oh, yum. Yum. And so good for you. Salt is something that I think that we need to go over, too. Many people think that if they have sea salt, that's, yes, and it is a grade better than iodized salt, but there are salts that are much better than just sea salt. You talked about the pink salt.
Yeah, the Himalayan pink salt, because, again, it's a very ancient, salt deposit that was found, and it's very pure, but it's very rich in those trace minerals, and again, in a form where the body can use them, because it dissolves into the subangstrom size. You know, it's got a good solution of minerals. The other one is the Celtic, or the fleur de sel, the Celtic gray. It's a beautiful gray salt. Again,
right.
It has the right minerals and supports the right electrical activity. And here in Hawaii, we have the Hawaiian red salt, which has been used in healing for at least 1,000 years. So it's the Hawaiian red salt. It has a lot of iron content and clay to it as well, and it's very, very healing. So these are the salts that I recommend, and they're very flavorful.
That's the thing. Most of us are so, our idea of comfort in things that are in things that have great amounts of flavor to them, you know, things that are pungent. And so, you know, being able to have a salt, because generally it's going to harden your arteries. So being able to have a salt that, you know, is tasty gives us that thing that we want in our food.
Yeah,
you know,
and people are craving salt or are wanting the salt. If they're getting the iodized salt, it's because the body's really wanting the good salt, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of shifting. You know, it's a first-class upgrade and being willing to love yourself enough to give yourself the best.
And, you know, I'm wondering if we have an engineer out there, although at this point it's nearly moot, It's almost a quarter after 10. And I want to thank all of you out there that have been listening to us this evening. Thank you for staying, and thank you for giving us your attention. I hope that you find something in our show that you want to take to your friends and your neighbors and your family and people that you work with. And I would like to believe that you would say, you know, I listened to a show last night that I think everybody should hear. There's something on there that literally helps to raise up the consciousness of Earth. We endeavor to stop this deathing process. Our body was not meant to age and decay and then finally to be cast off into a grave. Look at the genealogies in the Old Testament. Those people lived 1,200-1,500 years. And then, of course, when they started rewriting all of that information, they took all of that away from us. But if we eat and we nurture and love and nourish ourselves, we don't have to die like that. We don't have to be decrepit and on a walker and having some breathing machine take care of us. And I can't even imagine it anymore. Okay, I talked. Your turn.
Okay, let's we promised people we were going to talk about weight loss, so what I want to do is maybe we can have our good friend Michael Brown from Healthy Weight Supermarket. Let's see if we can get him on the show next week and have him talk about weight loss. So tell everybody to come back. He is great. And in the meantime, we have about 15 more minutes, and let's turn it back over to Johnny, and maybe you can share some of your thoughts on weight loss.
Well, sure. You know, it's interesting, girls, how you were both talking about different things. And one of you mentioned, I think it was you, Dr. Sandra, iodine. Isn't that correct?
Well, iodine is very important. We were talking about thyroid
iodized salt.
We're meant to get it from seaweed, which is one of those secrets of longevity from Okinawa, which has the greatest longevity on the planet, the seaweeds.
Yeah.
And here in Hawaii, it's called limu. Yeah,
well, here's what I was thinking. Iodine is, in a mineral form, really better known as the metabolizer. And it's one of the most absolutely vital biochemical elements that you can take, and it has the highest vibratory frequency rate of all the elements. So it has properties that exclusively exist only within itself. And what it does is it mainly affects the thyroid, but that not only controls many important body functions and things of that nature, but it keeps you in a quickened state of health. And iodine is probably one of the biggest or greatest restorers of heat to warm-blooded creatures. And another thing it does is without iodine, calcium cannot be assisted in the repair or even the building of tissues in the way that it should be done. And once again, iodine, you're going to find that it's stored mostly in the thyroid, but you do store smaller amounts in your muscles, your skin, and your bones. And if you wanted to be healthy and control your weight, if you didn't have enough iodine within your system, you would be at a disadvantage. So if you took a little more of it or ate some of that sea kelp and things of that nature, you'd be on the winning track.
It doesn't take much kelp to really fulfill the body's desire or need for iodine either. Kelp is a very, very effective way to get the iodine quickly, easily, and it's inexpensive. And that can taste delicious as a seasoning on your food.
Yeah.
Yeah, then there's also kelp extracts that you can use. Like, it only takes like what, a drop a day or something.
Yeah, it's pretty potent.
Yeah, and very simple. And that's something that's been long missing from the U.S. diet and from the U.S. soil. So that's, I'm sure, part of the epidemic of obesity that we're seeing.
Yes,
it's been quite missing.
Yeah, and you know, isn't it funny? You see so many people consuming so-called diet sodas. And if you look and notice and watch, most of these people are rather obese, if not quite obese.
Yeah.
And we're saying this because we love everybody. It's not to pick on anybody. But we want to see you be healthy, and you can't if you're carrying around large amounts of unnecessary weight. So if a person wanted to say to themselves, what do I do to get rid of this? There's a few key things, and we would be recapping some of the things we said earlier tonight. White flour adds a rubber tire around the midriff, and it's a harder type of a thing to get rid of than it is if a person gained weight by eating other types of natural foods and you wanted to take off a few pounds. You'll notice that the white flour poundage is much more difficult to remove, as is the same with soft drinks and other related things found or based in corn syrup. It's the same thing, that your body has to really labor to get rid of that those pounds. Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like a buildup around
Well, and that's a liver problem. That's when even the liver starts sweeping it under the rug and starts building it out there. It's filled with cortisol, and that's a stress hormone, and that's when we know our liver has been stressed. And I'm not sure that enough of us think about that often enough. You know, what is that big protrusion out in the front of the body? Well,
right.
It's very dangerous.
Well,
the other thing with that is that we talked about the colon. You know, a lot of people's colons are so impacted that that's a lot of that protrusion around the belly. And so, you know, that's
right.
Where, you know, you really want to support the colon, you know, in eliminating that.
And another thing, too, if you were to go inside a person's liver, or if you were to look at anyone who has a serious weight problem, you would find that their cholesterol level, as they call it, meaning the bad type, the LDL, is high, and that's because the liver simply can't handle all of this anymore, and the sugars are passed off back into the system.
Right.
And if you really analyzed what that is, when they say cholesterol, it's actually a sugar-based problem and not natural fats that you need. Like example, butter is good for you. Margarine is very detrimental to you because it's hydrogenated.
Yeah.
Okay, as a quick recap, since we only have really a few more minutes here, Johnny, would you share more of what you recommend for people who would like to lighten up, lighten their loads, and what's some of the most effective methods that you've found for people to drop their excess weight?
What I tell people is this, that if you look in the mirror, are you happy with what you see? And we need to get a rather full-length mirror here, or at least a three-quarter mirror, because some people, they're going to cheat and just look at the facial area. and we need to look at the whole product, the whole body. And if a person honestly says, you know what, I got to take off a little of this weight, what am I going to do? Well, number one, you can't maintain that weight unless you are intaking enough of anything, be it whole foods, junk foods. You have to be taking in something to maintain whatever you now weigh. So that the minute you switch from the adulterated or processed or refined foods and the soft drinks and all of these types of things, especially drinks like coffee inordinately, if a person's having more than, you know, that cup per day, and even that isn't really your friend, you will find that your body can regulate in a superior manner when you start eating whole grained foods, natural foods, when you start eating some raw carrots instead of always having something cooked. But there are advantages, too, in cooked vegetables because you do release certain properties. It's not as many as the raw foods can benefit you. Raw foods are a better bet. If that's all you had, you're going to do better with the raw than you are with the cooked. But there is something to be said for some cooked vegetables. There's no question about it. It's how you cook them that makes them worth the while. But I tell people that if you also incorporate some kind of a plan of exercise or walking or work, if you garden or if you have a wood pile and you want to get some wood for the winter if you live in such a climate, get a handsaw. Don't use just a chainsaw. Make your arms go back and forth and swing a hammer and a wedge and wear goggles and protect your eyes and all those things. But you'll find that when you institute a regimen of activity and when you tell yourself, I can do it, I can lose this weight, and you know what? I'm not going to drink those soft drinks. Why don't I go for something more natural, like try different types of real spring water or real artesian well waters or natural rainwater if you can collect it from a clean source. And you'll find that your body will start regulating itself and the pounds will start to diminish. And then you start feeling better, you look better, you get a compliment from your friends, and all this positiveness is just exuding from you. And you just win the battle.
Yeah, I think two of the most powerful things you can do is, one, walking is like the best exercise. Just get out and walk. Park the car further, you know, and walk. Or walk every night. Here in Hawaii, I got into walking every night for sunset, walking to the beach. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. So walking is one of the best things. And if you can get up to like 30 minutes a day, you know, that's when it starts really being a fat-burning activity.
Yeah.
The other thing is the water. Drink a gallon a day, and it's got to be not tap water. No chlorine, no fluoride. Get a purified water. Enagic or Kangen water is a water that we're going to be talking about more because it's a true antioxidant water. And I think we'll have a show where we'll have somebody on talking about enagic water.
Right. And I would like to take a moment, Dr. Rose, let's not forget to talk about the medallions.
Well, I think we're going to maybe have Dr. Greg Gerber on next week, and we'll talk about the medallions. But you want to share what you've experienced with the EE medallion?
I would love to.
It is available on our website now.
Yes, I would love to. Dr. Rose gifted me with a medallion last Wednesday and before our show, and she put it around my neck. And I noticed a difference, a subtle difference. Language is a barrier. I'm not sure exactly how to tell you what the difference that I felt was, but maybe just lighter would be a good word. I wore the medallion for several hours, and I'm telling you, it's what allowed me to go through frying my computer. But when all was said and done and you and I talked for a little while, we went upstairs and I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to take this off. I'm not going to sleep in this. Now, I had it on, maybe 4 hours. I took the medallion off. I laid it on the table next to my bed, and I immediately felt the loss. I felt less of me, less able, less something. Again, you know, words being the barrier. I feel stronger since I've had it on, and I feel like I think clearly. There are subtle changes in many different directions of my life. And the greatest thing, I think, the thing that I like, is that I manifest quickly. In this past week, I have manifested some things, including my new MacBook, everybody. I have a new MacBook, including that. But I have some other things that I will be talking about later on down the road that have just come to me. So go to the website, eesystem.com, and check out the beautiful rose quartz Chinese coin joined together and then scalarized. Check out that medallion. I love my medallion. I just have a hard time giving it up. I want to wear it in the shower.
Yeah, for people that don't have an EE system, or even those that do, this is a way to take a piece of the technology with you wherever you go. And obviously the body wants it because it's helping and assisting the body to stay in homeostasis or to stay in integrity and in balance at a cellular level. And it's just assisting in that natural process of homeostasis. But bottom line is it works and it's very inexpensive. And
yeah.
You can find it at eesystem.com or eemedallion.com is its own website.
Yeah.
So it's the Energy Enhanced Medallion. And I have yet to have a single person not say, wow, I really feel that.
Yeah, I really feel that. Wow. Johnny America, do you want to give some websites? Personal email. What do you want to tell folks about you?
Well, you're going to find this an amazing statement, but you see, right now, I'm looking at just the shell of a new type of a computer, and there's a huge, huge spider that just came into this room, and I can't give his website, or he's going to attack me.
All right, then.
And you know what else?
You're weaving quite a web there.
the reason no one would ever be able to reach me if I did give my website is I'm not on the internet. I'm on the outer net. And I doubt if anybody else out there is on the outer net. They're on the internet. So it would be next to impossible to get me.
Okay. Well, all right then.
Over the top. No. His show is going to be called Go to the Top, and that is coming.
Go to the top. Well, you know, we'll have to let people know as we get more information. We can share it with them.
Oh, sure. I'm just having a little fun with you here. What's going to happen is we need a little more time because we're in the final stages of selecting the U.S. headquarters or the spot where we're going to live and do this show from. And once we get that, Dr. Sandra will make an announcement all about it. And then in the trade publications that stations get and also some internet publications, when we get to do that, they will have our ads there. So you'll know about it. But you'll get it right from the horse's mouth through Dr. Sandra.
Oh, in the meantime, aren't we lucky to have him on our show?
We are. I want to thank everybody out there for spending your evening with us. I want to thank Johnny America for coming on and doing a wonderful show with us. He helped to carry this the entire evening. And I want to thank Dr. Sandra Rose Michael for Energy Enhancement System and everybody, every place. Love and thank you. And please come back next Wednesday night at 7:30. You know, we're coming. We might be 7:35, but we're coming. Listen, we're going to be there.
And I wish to thank both of you so very sincerely for a wonderful evening, and it was a real pleasure to have been on your program. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, every one of you, and aloha.
Good night, everybody. God bless.
Yeah, may your cells keep vibrating with that resonance of truth, and come back and hear us on Talk Truth Radio.
Next week,
okay.
Guys. Bye now.
Next week. Bye-bye. God bless.
The talk radio you have just enjoyed is brought to you by Dr. Sandra Rose Michael and Energy Enhancement Systems. Have a very blessed week, and please join us next Friday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time when we return with more exciting talk. To find out more about the host and sponsor, visit drrainmorgan.com and energyenhancementsystems.com.